Breastfeeding is one of those things that you have to be ridiculously competitive to do, I think. You have to be almost mean about it. You know, you're telling the baby you will breastfeed, you know?
Mean about it. That's not how you usually hear people talk about breastfeeding. Well, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the World Health Organization, and the New York City Department of Health all recommend that mothers breastfeed their babies for at least 6 months. They all agree that breast milk is the healthiest option for babies. And while breastfeeding rates have gone up in the past decade, a lot of women struggle with it, and it varies widely based on socioeconomic status and race and other factors. Now, our next guests have made a new documentary about some of the struggles and maybe the fierceness, as we heard reflected in that clip, around breastfeeding, not just the simple joys. The film is called Breast Milk. Donna Ben-Ari is the director of the film and the talk show host. Actor and birthing and parenting advocate Ricky Lake is the executive producer of the movie, and we welcome them both now to the show. Donna, Ricky, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
So exciting. Thank
and
you.
And Donna, in the film, you follow several families around in New York City as they're about to give birth and in the first year of their children's lives. But this is not a new topic. So what are you trying to say with this film that my listeners don't already know about breastfeeding?
We wanted to explore some of the women's struggles and show what are some of the support systems that are still missing in their lives. Because, yes, most women know the benefits of breastfeeding, and many try to take that advice and follow through, but it's not always that easy. And we wanted to explore some of those challenges without being judgmental.
And before we play some clips, Ricky, there's a young mom who's a student here in New York and also works. There's a married professor, a married librarian who's the family breadwinner, and a single mom, among others. Did anything surprise you about the comparisons, you know, the comparative experiences breastfeeding? Because one might think, well, breastfeeding doesn't really vary by socioeconomic status. It's this biological thing. Mm-hmm. Not true?
No, I think it runs the gamut. I think everyone can relate to the struggles and the issues that come up, you know, particularly the stigma of breastfeeding in public, working women trying to balance, you know, pumping. I mean, I think in a hospital setting, if you give birth in the hospital, I think there's a lot of things that are stacked up against you. You know, the hospital system sometimes likes to bottle feed when they take that baby to the nursery. And it's just, I think it's a plight that every woman can relate to, you know, to have their needs and their choices be heard.
So let's play a clip from the film, because almost all of the moms who struggled to breastfeed their babies struggled with guilt and were on the verge of tears several times. Let's listen to a clip of Karen, a working professor and new mom.
And I had to really process the whole idea of giving my baby formula long and hard. Like somehow I was going to be judged by a mythical mother's court for failing to breastfeed my baby properly. I wonder if cave women felt guilty if one of their babies, for whatever reason, had trouble latching on.
The mythical mother's court, Donna.
Yes.
All moms have felt that pressure about one thing or another.
Right. And I think that we still live in a culture that likes to blame women for a lot of what happens in their lives. And so part of what we want to explore in this film is how can we help women with their experiences, with their choices, and not judge what they end up, not judge their successes or their failures, but just support whatever it is they choose to do. And I'm not sure we're quite there yet. I'm not sure that we're in a place where we fully support women and their choices and their biology.
Is that what you want to do, Ricky, just support women in whatever choices they make, including not to breastfeed in the first months of their baby's lives, as opposed to advocate that they do?
No, I don't think it really has that strong of a point of view. I think it's about support. It's about starting a conversation, which is really what Abby Epstein and I, my partner from The Business of Being Born, what we tried to do with that film, with birth, you know, the world of birth. I think the Business of Being Born had a much stronger point of view, but it's a great conversation starter. I mean, I think there's lots of how to breastfeed, you know, how to's out there. This really does explore every aspect of, you know, families and single parents trying to deal with this issue and hopefully learn through their process.
And listeners, you have any comments or questions? What helped you when you were trying to feed your baby and having problems with it, since it's struggles largely that are documented in this film? Or anything else you want to say or ask for Donna Ben-Ari or Ricky Lake, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. By the way, this film, too, will be screened as part of the Doc NYC Festival, 4:30 tomorrow afternoon.
We'll be there.
At the SVA Theater. And 11:30 on Tuesday at the IFC Center. So 4:30 tomorrow at SVA, 11:30 a.m. Tuesday at IFC. And here's another clip. Another mom struggles to produce enough milk for her baby despite trying desperately for months, and they end up supplementing with formula. But early on, in the middle of the night, the father gives the baby a bottle while his wife is sleeping and refers to it as a bottle of crack.
When he had his little bout in the middle of the night, and Colleen was asleep in the bedroom, and I decided to open up a bottle of crack and give it to him. I told her in the morning, and she had the same condescending attitude. It's just like, oh, really? Without asking me? And I said, I made a decision as his parent, and it seemed to alleviate the situation. And again, I think both of us are in agreement that we hope it's a short-term option.
Yeah.
So, Donna, have we vilified formula a little too dramatically?
Well, you know, this is a documentary, so whatever was going on for the characters, for the people, I mean, this was a conversation between husband and wife. People do feel like breastfeeding and breast milk is healthier, and they know it. And they want to try to follow their doctor's recommendations. So we're not interested in convincing women to breastfeed. We're really looking to see how we can support them in those choices, decisions.
That guy had formula guilt, Ricky.
Yes, he did. Yeah. I mean, I think back with my own personal experience. You know, my children are now 16 and 12 years old, but I had some issues where I had a breast reduction, and so I was not able to solely breastfeed. The fact that I was able to breastfeed at all was a miracle, because I didn't know until I became a mother. But I had some issues as well, and I did feel tremendous guilt that I wasn't able to fully support my child, you know, solely on breast milk.
And didn't you turn to one of those informal breast milk sharing networks?
I did. Well, that didn't exist back then, but I did through a NICU bank in North Carolina. I had donated breast milk, but this was with my second child. My first, I didn't know enough, but I had this home birth experience and got some information and did, for 3 months, I had milk delivered every week from North Carolina and dry ice and mason jars. And it was a huge commitment. It was very financially very expensive, but I felt that was best for my child.
As some of the families in the film turn to this also, do you communicate, because I haven't seen it, safety concerns? The New York Times reported on a study published in the Medical Journal Pediatrics that unregulated shared breast milk is often tainted. 64% of the samples were contained with staph from this, you know, one group of samples. They saw 36% with strep, almost three-quarters with other bacterial species.
Right. Everybody's talking about that study. But I think that selling and sharing is not synonymous. I think when you are buying milk, you're introducing a whole other variable into the equation. But many families, many women do share milk. And I think, you know, one more thing to add to that article is, and it did make front page headlines in the New York Times, is what are we feeling, thinking about women's bodies? It's again very much about making women feel fearful and feeling like their bodies are contaminated. And I think that that's a very negative message.
Let's hear from some of our callers. Dana in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, Brian. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
Great show.
Thank you.
And to Donna and Ricky for bringing this topic of conversation to us today. I work as a postpartum specialist in Manhattan, and in my practice, I offer comprehensive support for women transitioning to motherhood. Nursing comes up regularly, and there are a lot of feelings that it elicits, particularly for women who experience postpartum depression, whether it be mild, moderate, or severe. The pressure, I think, societally right now to breastfeed is so intense that the compulsion to do it or the obligation to do it can be tremendously overwhelming. And I experienced my own postpartum depression, also felt very obligated to nurse. And in retrospect, I did nurse my son for a year, and I don't know that it was the best choice for me or for him because it felt like such an overwhelming chore for me. I don't know actually that that it was the best choice. Mm-hmm. I think he might have benefited from an emotionally more sound mother. And I think if I had not felt such an intense pressure to nurse, he might have had that. So I think
that's
it's
pretty
a
interesting.
Benefit analysis.
Dana, thank you very much. And so there's somebody who not only shares that experience, that intense experience and her regrets, but she's a postpartum counselor. So she's trying to make people feel comfortable about the decision one way or another. Mm-hmm. What are you thinking?
Well, I definitely don't think that there's a one size fits all, and you know, everyone has their own experiences. But the pressure exists and is felt strong, even more strongly, because there isn't the right support there to allow women to follow those guidelines. So I think that if we had a more supportive system, if we had longer extended paid maternity leaves, I think if we had more understanding of our bodies, if we had more acceptance for women, for, you know, our spaces to accommodate women who want to breastfeed, some of those pressures would be
Would subside,
right? Thank you, Ricky. So, I mean, it's one thing to make this recommendation, and it's another to actually support women through that process.
And you think those things that you listed are reasons that women struggle with breastfeeding in so many cases in the modern United States?
Absolutely, and I still think that we have we've really alienated ourselves from our bodies. We see that in so many other areas too. I mean, the local movement, know where your food comes from, and we're just kind of like we're trying to come back to that place right now. And so we need to get reacquainted with our bodies and realize that women do function a certain way.
You can't get much more locavore than breastfeeding.
That's right.
Sarah in Highland Lakes, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Can you hear me all right?
Sure can.
Okay. Well, I breastfed both my daughters. They're 2 and 5 now, and I had two totally different experiences. With the first one, I cried every day for 2 months. Mm. I knew it was the best. I had postpartum. I knew it was the best thing for her, but it was a very rough experience, and I nursed her for 14 months. And my second one, though, that's how it was supposed to be. She latched on in the recovery room, and it was amazing. And I cried when she stopped nursing. She stopped nursing on her own at 16 months. And it was, and I didn't have, and even though in my community, everybody nurses, I actually don't even know anybody who uses formula.
How do you explain the difference in your own experience with your two children?
Well, the first time, looking back, I had postpartum. And mm-hmm. I was struggling, and I didn't realize it for a year and a half. And it wasn't until I got into a more welcoming environment, which is Highland Lakes, where I live now, and I met these women who were just so welcoming and just so loving. And I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I didn't have that. I'm from Chicago, and I just felt so isolated. And I knew I'm educated. My mom nursed, my breastfed. Like I read all the books, and I just felt so isolated. And it was once I got into a community. It saved me. It saved me. It saved my marriage. And
wow.
It made me want to have more kids.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, that's really what we're trying to do with this film, is really support women so that they can have that kind of experience. Whether they breastfeed or not, they don't feel judged at whatever decision they choose to make. That's awesome.
That is awesome. Sarah, thank you for sharing that. I think that story will probably help a lot of women who are yet to go through this who are listening right now, as will this film, Breast Milk, made by Donna Ben-Ari and Ricky Lake. All right, before you go, Ricky Lake, talk show host to talk show host.
Yes.
You had your long-running show.
Yes.
And then you tried a different style of one for a time last year.
Well, let me just say that wasn't my style. I was hoping to really do something that was a little more meaningful. It was a little bit disappointing.
And I never saw that one. So what would you say you were trying to do in the original Ricky Lake? And what were you trying to do if you were something different last year?
Well, the original Ricky Lake, I was 24 years old when I got that job. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I stood for, what I believed in. I basically held a microphone and kind of, you know, let it all happen. I mean, it was the voice of for young people in the 90s. It was a phenomenon. It was an incredible success, and I'm grateful to have had that. The new show, you know, was post 9/11. You know, I was now 42 years old, very much have a sense of who I am. I'd made The Business of Being Born and More Business of Being Born with Abby Epstein. And I felt like I had actually something to say at this point. So I, you know, teamed up with my company wanting to do meaningful television, wanting to do an hour predominantly for women that was thought-provoking, provocative. And, you know, unfortunately, the company that I went to bed with didn't really want to do that kind of television. I wanted more Phil Donahue type show, you know? And, you know, it was a learning experience for me. I think I'm better off doing these smaller projects that I can control.
Mm-hmm. Like this documentary.
Like this one. I mean, this film, you know, Donna made this beautiful film. We came on board after it was made, and it certainly is on brand with what Abby and I do with our Business of Being Born franchise. But, you know, I won the Emmy for Best Daytime Talk Show Host and was canceled. But it was a blessing in disguise because, honestly, I'm doing what I love to do, these smaller projects that are, you know, supporting women, sharing information, educating, and, you know, it's very fulfilling work.
Anything you like in the daytime TV talk show realm right now, or do you think it's a wasteland and it's irredeemable?
It's just, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, point fingers. It's not for me, you know, anymore. I had high hopes. I really, really did. I thought we were going to do something that would be important, you know, substance more than fluff. But, you know, I love the genre. I really do. But I can't say that there's a show I want to be on TV doing right now, you know.
Ricky Lake is the executive producer. Donna Ben-Ari is the director of the film Breast Milk. There are two New York City screenings coming up as part of the Doc NYC Festival, 4:30 tomorrow afternoon, Saturday afternoon, at the SVA Theater, and 11:30 in the morning on Tuesday at the IFC Center. Thank you both so much for coming in and sharing these clips.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Conversation with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up lastly on The Brian Lehrer Show today, right after a break, a Harper's Index quiz. Call in to see if you know the latest set of statistics from the Harper's Magazine data comparisons. For example, the percentage of U.S. Jews who believe God gave Israel to the Jewish people versus the percentage of U.S. evangelicals who believe that, and many other Harper's Index stats and comparisons that we'll see if you know. Give us a call if you want to play with the editor of Harper's, 212-433-WNYC. No prizes, just fun, 212-433-9692 for a Harper's Index quiz. Stay tuned.